Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Another text that reflects what so many of you are saying about Sinead this morning. John is saying it in a slightly different way, mind you. He says, I wasn't a massive fan of Sinead O'Connor, I have to say that. I didn't take the time, I guess, to truly listen to her lesser-known under-the-radar output. Only now, at her passing, do I appreciate her incredible talent. In particular, I heard Lay Your Head Down on Morning Ireland earlier. I am almost in tears at the power and the evocative aspect of her interpretation. Her voice is absolutely golden, a sentiment that so many of you have expressed. So let us get nerdy about the voice for a few minutes. What is it that made it so distinctive and so special? Joining me now, the operatic tenor and musicologist, Dr. Gavin Ring. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Philip. Thank you very, very much for having me on the show.
No, well, thank you very much for lending us your expertise for a little while. First off, your thoughts about her death this morning.
Well, first of all, I'd like to communicate my sincerest condolences and sympathies to Sinead's family and her friends. Philip, I think we wake up this morning as a nation impoverished, truly impoverished. Sinead was one of the brightest cultural and musical lights that this country has ever seen. And I think it's no hyperbole to put her in the pantheon of great Irish luminaries like Oscar Wilde, W.B. Yeats, Jack B. Yeats, Luke Kelly, the Chieftains, Enya, people like that, who really, she stands shoulder to shoulder with those people. And they say we are truly bereft as a nation with the loss of Sinead.
All of whom had very, very finely honed skills and instruments. Let us talk about her. Describe first, please, in technical terms, the voice and her range.
Well, Sinead was probably a contralto or a mezzo-soprano. She was in or around that kind of range, which is sort of lower to middle of the female voice category, as it were. But what she stood out primarily because of her versatility as a singer. And when I say versatility, I mean she was able to turn in a sixpence between let's say, proper belt singing style, if that makes any sense. So real sort of chest resonance, full force, full volume. And as I say, in an instant, turn to a beautiful, whispered, almost smoky, misty type of vocal colour. And she was able to do it with an intensity. And for a singer, no matter what genre you sing in, that's kind of the holy grail. It's all very well and good to be able to sing with intensity when you're singing at full force and full volume, but to be able to continue on with that intensity and bring the voice down to a very small place is incredibly difficult. And Sinead was able to do that better than, I would say, most singers of her generation.
And do all of that very technical stuff while also infusing a song with emotion. Let us just take a little snippet of Scarlet Ribbons by way of illustration.
If I live to be a
Now, I know what I hear when I listen to that. What do you hear as a musicologist?
Well, I think that a singer like Sinead, her, and we hear it in that recording, absolutely, is that the voice and the person, the voice and the human being were completely at one. Now, that's very rare, Philip, very rare indeed. As a singer, there is a sort of a, I guess, an unwritten rule in many respects that you slightly compartmentalize what you do vocally from what you're doing emotionally. Now, the two are linked, but you're trying not to allow, let's say, your emotional or psychological state over let's say, influence or infiltrate the quality or what you're doing technically as a singer. Now, what Sinead did was, in many respects, she ripped that rule book up and she just melded the two to an extent that what you get is you get a slightly more, I guess, fragmented sound. And I was thinking of that great lyric from the Oasis song Little by Little this morning, that true perfection has to be imperfect. And that really was Sinead. She was able to, from a technical aspect, infuse her singing fantastically well from a technical point of view, but infuse it with that emotional, human aspect of herself. And what, for most singers, what happens is that actually it deflates the performance, or it denigrates or deteriorates the performance, as it were. But for Sinead, it elevated it. Such was this. I mean, you can't teach what she was able to do. It's just she was born to do what she did. And I mean, you can imitate it, you can try and, you know, mimic it and things like that, but you can't, the authenticity that she was able to bring and meld those two aspects together, the emotional and the technical, from a sort of a nerdy point of view, as you put it before, was absolutely astounding.
Okay. Can we listen to another piece of music at the other range of her expression from what we heard there in Scarlet Ribbons? This is her at full force, those moments when she used to herself stand back from the microphone because she knew exactly what it was that she was projecting and how much force there was in it. This is Fire on Babylon. Fire! Can you work out, Gavin, how she found that raw power in her voice?
Well, I think, I mean, Sinead was no, she made no secret about the fact that she was very much a proponent of the bel canto singing technique. Now, the bel canto singing technique, for some of your listeners who might not be aware, is something which has its root in the operatic tradition, believe it or not. And actually, Tony Bennett there, who passed away a few days ago, he was another a great proponent of that and was very vocal about the, if you'll pardon the pun, he was very vocal about his usage of that particular technique. Now, it's a sort of a, as I say, it's mainly used in opera, but the rudimentary idea of bel canto is that it's rooted very much in your body, and that you're not singing from the throat alone, that you're giving yourself what I would term a vocal apparatus and a vocal machinery. So you're using your diaphragm, you're using your back muscles. And crucially, for someone like Sinead, she was able to access what us singers like to call opening the attic or opening the trap door. And that is the lifting of the soft palate and having a pharyngeal spread, as it were, in the head to access natural resonators in the skull framework, as it were, to be able to, let's say, project in the way that she was able to do and to sing with that degree of volume and heft. So, I mean, when I hear that, and I was listening to that that famous live recording of Nothing Compares to You, the one from Vivo, as it were, I think it was recorded in Chile. I could be wrong with that. But there's a 3 minutes in, she hooks an A natural. As you rightly pointed out, she stands back from the microphone and she just kind of, you can see physically that she opens up all the resonators in her head, as it were, by lifting that soft palate and creating this raw sort of wall of sound.
I have in her own words how she described bel canto. It's worth reading it. She said, "They don't use notes or scales or breathing exercises, and you sing in your own accent. It's based on the theory that singing is just animated speaking. You say what you mean and you mean what you say. And if a note is hard to go for, you don't go for the note. You go for the feeling." I think you raised it there, that example, the song that we have been kind of shying away from all morning long, but I think now is probably the right time to play a little clip of Nothing Compares to You. Sing the feeling, she said. Can you teach a person to do that, Gavin?
I think you can, Philip, yeah. I mean, some people have it innately in them, this, I think, what is best described as a storytelling quality. And I think that Sinead had that in abundance. I mean, Irish artists of Sinead's quality, and Irish singers in particular, they've all had this sort of aspect of their artistry where it's sort of rooted in this ability, this theatrical ability to tell a story so effectively. I'm thinking of people like Shane McGowan. I'm thinking of people like Christy Dignam, Luke Kelly, people like that who instantaneously, and sometimes it didn't really matter about the vocal quality. It was to do with this, I don't know, an instinctual feeling as a listener, as an audience member, that I'm being something transcendent is happening here, whereby it's not just a story. I'm being told a story. The story is powerful, and obviously it's within the paradigms and the conceptuality of a song or music. And Sinead O'Connor had that ability. She had the ability to tell a story through the medium of song in a way which, I mean, you can attempt to teach it, and some people can find the technical hooks to be able to do, or the little gimmicks to be able to do in order to kind of replicate that quality. But
you can't teach a person how to feel, can you, Gavin? And I suppose that's really the point here, isn't it?
Sorry, say that again to me. I just didn't quite catch that, Philip.
You can't teach a person how to feel.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a tricky one. I won't lie, because I would never say never in an instance like that. And sometimes through hard work, and it's very clear that Sinead O'Connor, as natural a talent as she was,
she was a very, very hard worker,
and she worked very hard at her art. That something will click, and that symbiosis will occur. But yeah, as I said earlier, Sinead was absolutely at one with her voice and her as a human being,
completely.
And that is incredibly rare.
Gavin Ring, thank you so much. A sentiment that is echoed in all of the text. 51551 Sinead. From Sinead in Care in Limerick once again. Sinead had a voice that spanned generations and transcended genres. Her music and her voice stands the test of time for music lovers of all genres and stirs emotions like no other. Well said, Sinead.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.